Hey everybody, Josh Sheraton of World Alternative Media here, and we are joined once again by Tim Pachote of the Liberty Advisor, and things are getting so crazy, guys. Everything we warned about years ago is coming to light. Unfortunately, the Federal Reserve isn't even hiding how crazy they are and how desperate they are at this point. I wanted to get into this article out of Zero Hedge that says, Federal Reserve proposes new rule to let inflation run hot ahead of next recession. And I've said it enough times before, and I'll say it again, inflation is one of the biggest scourges on humanity currently. It's a hidden tax of inflation. It is a massive scam. It is massive fraud. And we'll get into that a bit more in a moment. But as the article says, as the Federal Reserve remains unable to stoke inflation because it refuses to measure it correctly and refuses to factor in asset price inflation, and you see the chart there, it has now considered launching a new rule that would let inflation run above its 2% target to make up for lost inflation, reported the Financial Times. And of course, if you look at John Williams' shadow stats, inflation is closer to around 11% or so, according to the early 80s metrics. But as it continues, it says, though the Fed's policies are to protect big Wall Street banks and keep liquidity ample in the financial system, its policies have overwhelmingly created deflation through supporting zombie companies and blowing financial bubbles. And you can see the chart there. So to make up for lost inflation, the Fed will temporarily increase the target range above 2%, also known as symmetric overinflation. The policy would make it clear that it's acceptable that to average 2%, you can't have only observations that are below 2%, according to Eric Rosengren, a president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, who recently spoke with Financial Times. Fed members have expressed concerns that reverting the federal funds rate to the zero lower bound will drive inflation expectations lower, a real risk of Japanification, something Albert Edwards is especially concerned about. And there's another chart there. Continuing on, it says, officials have also lamented that since the Fed funds rate is so low compared to history, any recession could make monetary policy ineffective, though there is always the reality that the Fed will merely unleash negative interest rates during the next recession. And they have President Trump's stamp of approval on that as well. Continuing on, it says, meanwhile, Fed members have been experimenting with new monetary tools ahead of the next downturn. Janet Yellen said the new rule could be like forward guidance, which enabled the Fed to pressure short-term interest rates lower. This eventually allowed longer-term rates to fall as well. Rosengren said future committees might not be as comfortable with that formulaic approach. This is why I prefer something that is a little bit more flexible, maybe not as constraining, but makes it a little clearer that we should be having some inflation readings over 2%. Fed Governor Lael Brainard spoke with reporters last week, said the new rule is too complex to elaborate on with the public. She said if inflation drops, the Fed should allow inflation to run hot, perhaps in a range of 2 to 2.5%. In plain English, the Fed is afraid that its own policies are Japanifying the U.S. economy, and in response is willing to, drumroll, double down, which will somehow push inflation run above target, when in reality it will simply unleash even more deflation. The strategy clearly shows the Fed is making up policy as it goes ahead of the next recession, where monetary policy will be less effective than ever before. The silver lining, risk prices will be at all-time high as the world careens towards the next global recession. Now, we're going to go to you, Tim, right away. I just want to note that this is interesting. The recession has been going on, technically speaking, since 2008, just papered over, as we mentioned many times before. But it seems like we are in full desperation mode. We talked for years at WAM about how they'll try to prop up interest rates just barely, and they're going to have to drop them out. And considering between 2008 and 2012, they had to drop them out around 5.5%. I mean, we'd be going into more than negative 3% at that rate if they were to drop it at the same rate going into a massive global collapse, which we are definitely entering into slowly but surely. It should have happened already. It's just been pushed off. But I think 100% this is an issue of scamming the public and basically pushing a bunch of people into debt. I mean, think about the level of poverty we're already seeing and how much poverty we're going to see if inflation continuously goes up. I mean, what do you think, Tim, about what the Fed is attempting to do here?
Thanks for having me on, Josh. Well, I think it's great if you actually take a timeline of events of what the Fed said they're going to do versus what the Fed actually ends up doing. And so if you bring it all the way back to the beginning, the Fed was initially created in order to help smooth out the business cycle and then to also protect the value of the dollar. Everyone listening to this and watching this right now knows they've done the exact opposite of protecting the value. And then eventually, I don't know exactly when it morphed, but it eventually came into, oh, well, our inflation target is now 2%. And so what that means is that they're just going to, whittle away, on an average, declared rate of 2% of your savings that's going to be confiscated. Now, this leads into a lot of other problems as well that actually is beneficial for the government. So let's say there's different tax brackets, and let's say one of the tax brackets, I don't have them in front of me right now, let's say it's $25,000. Well, if all of a sudden now, $25,000 has the same equivalent purchasing power as $5,000, well, now they can tax you at the higher level. And so that's called bracket creep. It's another way for the government to help make more money. Or let's say now, because you print a whole bunch of money, financial assets go through the roof. And now, your stock is priced twice as much, but we also hypothetically have printed twice as much. And so now the government would get more in taxes from the sale of that stock or sale of that financial asset. And so it does benefit, a very small amount of people. But then for the average person who is just, in the rat race of life trying to get by, it definitely doesn't benefit them. While you were reading the article, I then, I thought of the quote from John Maynard Keynes. It's a pretty long quote, but I'll skip around in here. But Lenin is said to have declared that the best way to destroy the capitalist system was to debauch the currency or debase the currency. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of wealth of their citizens. By this method, they not only confiscate, but they confiscate arbitrarily. And while the process impoverishes many, it actually enriches some. And I'm skipping down a little bit. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction and does it in a manner which not one in a million is able to diagnose. And that's John Maynard Keynes. And we live in a Keynesian economic system. In 1971, when we got off the gold standard, Richard Nixon said we are all Keynesians now. And so, unfortunately, this is the biggest problem that there is because, the average person wants to, talk about how there's, we need this new policy or that new policy or this new leader or that new leader. If you don't address the fact that our money is based off of debt, there's a reason why it says King's ransom behind me. It's because our money is not our money. Our money is the King's money. It's the crown's money. And we have to have it borrowed into existence. And not only is it just, borrowed straight from the treasury, it has to go through a middleman first, where the Federal Reserve gets it and lends it out to the big banks, and lend it back. And so, we're even getting middled on having to borrow our own money that we have to pay interest on when there's no reason to pay interest on our own debt. It's just crazy.
And I want to bring this around to something as simple as it can get. Now, I want to make it clear, all fiat currencies throughout history have eventually reverted to zero. Now, scarcity brings value, generally speaking, if there's demand and there's application use for that thing that is scarce, that there's not a lot of. What the Federal Reserve does is essentially prints vast amounts of currency out of thin air. Well, I think the banks do. They do what they call fractional reserve lending. And money is printed out of thin air, and it's enforced on people via the social contract usury. So usury is essentially interest, etc. It's a contract. People don't sign that contract and they're enforced by it, and then they have to pay off the interest on the debt with their taxes. But on top of that, the biggest scam is that as they print this currency, it gets less and less scarce. The value diminishes dramatically. The only thing backing up the U.S. dollar is a faith in the U.S. dollar, essentially, as with most value. But with that said, they're just printing out so much of it, and they're hoping that their military can basically safeguard that currency for the rest of the world as a world reserve currency. But it just, they keep printing it, and then the value of the currency diminishes. The price of living goes up. It's not that bread is getting more expensive. It's that your money is getting less valuable. And that is essentially inflation in a nutshell, where people are dealing with, for example, you go back to the 1960s and people are getting paid. I don't know exactly what the metric was in like 1965, but you compare that to today and think of it back then, a husband, while the wife was at home, could go out, work, be middle class, bring home enough money to feed the whole family. And today, two parents out working, getting paid, you know, the number is bigger, but getting paid, aren't able to put food on the table for, in many, many cases, especially in many states like California and New York, where, it's, you know, it, as it is with regulations and taxes, it's over the top to begin with. So what's happening essentially is it's just vast scam to impoverish the world, to push people into debt servitude. I think debt is one of the greatest ways to make people weak and dependent on the state and the banking system, which come in as a solution to the problem they created in the first place. So we see all these politicians, we see Bernie Sanders, we see AOC, we see people like this come in and say the minimum wage has to go up. The wage has nothing to do with it. You can put a different number on it and you could still buy the same amount of things down the line. It's inflation. Inflation is a problem. Inflation is one of the worst wounds inflicted on the populace today, and people don't even know what it is. Very few people understand it. Tim, I wanted to go to you and ask you, I mean, how much impact does inflation have on the average person, a day-to-day average person, when they're working their butts off, being taxed half their money, and then on top of it, their money is buying less and less all the time? Can you go into that a bit?
Yeah, I did want to just touch on one thing that you had said. You'd mentioned, you know, you didn't know the stats back into 1965. In 19, I believe it was either 64 or 65, the minimum wage was $1.25. However, $1.25 could also be expressed in getting paid five quarters for an hour's worth of work. Five quarters had real silver back then. I don't know the exact where silver's at today, 16, 17 bucks, maybe around there. So if you add the value of those five quarters together, you were getting like 20 bucks an hour back then. And so it was the money that's been perverted, not the other way around. So for the average person, I mean, my main wheelhouse is doing retirement planning for people. And so one thing I'll tell you, let's say, you know, you're one of the lucky ones, you're getting a pension, you're getting paid $50,000 a year, and you know, you're able to meet all of your obligations now over $50,000 a year. And then, but one thing you're not very good at doing, or not very good at planning, and by you, I mean just about every single person out there, you know, possible, is trying to say, okay, well, what if I live to be 85 years old? Or what if my wife and I live to be 90 years old? And then all of a sudden now $50,000 buys you what 10,000 used to. Oh, by the way, the things that go up the most in, you know, in terms of prices are, you know, long-term care, all these other, you know, end-of-life type situations where they, you know, make sure that you can't just die peacefully. They've got to bleed all the money out of you, first. But when it comes to doing retirement projections, you know, a lot of planning software, you know, defaults at, you know, 1 or 2%. And most people are screwed even at 1 or 2%, even if that was the real number. But, you know, if you get up to something where it's, you know, 4 or 5 or 6, even I would say even 3 or 4, most people's plans go completely awry. You throw in and these are out of the people that even can afford to retire. You throw in like a 10%, you know, market correction the year they retire, it almost blows up their plans, you know, all the time. So I want to make a quick plug that one of the things I can do for you is doing a financial plan that takes into account these variables. One of the big variables being inflation, and then how, different ways that you can hedge yourself against that. So, you know, not to make this commercial, but it's something that I see as my job as a CFP all the time, that people aren't taking this into account. And it's very important. And then if you take a look at what this whole article is about, is that now the inflation is going to run hot. Initially, they said, you know, that the Fed's job was not to have any inflation at all. Then it was to only have 2%. Then it was to have what they called symmetrical inflation, where it's, hey, if you have 10 years at, 1%, then it means that you can have another 10 years at 3%. Averaged out over 20 years, that would be 2% over, you know, of course, you know, their BS statistics of how they calculate this stuff. And now it's moved on from symmetrical to running hot. Well, what the heck does running hot mean? Running hot means, I mean, it can be arbitrarily defined to mean anything. It could say, okay, well, we had 10, 15 years down at 1%, meaning we could have a couple years at 10% to help average it out. And once they've gotten out the genie out of that bottle, there's no putting that genie back in. I will give, you know, some credit to Peter Schiff, that this is a topic he's been talking about quite a bit as it relates to Federal Reserve stress testing. And when they stress test out their example, their worst case scenarios, they don't stress test any scenarios with inflation rising and having asset prices like stocks and other assets falling. They just have even their bad scenarios are still pretty rosy scenarios in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Tim, is that all the while you see Jerome Powell saying things like, I have no reason to doubt that we can't continuously see growth for many, many years down the line. You see people like Donald Trump saying, you know, the U.S. dollar is going to be prosperous forever.
Well, he's right. The thing that's growing is the debt. And actually, you know, there is a video I saw the other day where it was from a month ago. And Jerome Powell said, you know, he flat out said the debt is growing faster than in the economy. And so, I mean, just imagine if you would have said, you know, it's like 2016 before the election, and you'd say, okay, well, you know, all of a sudden now the deficit is at $1 trillion. And even if you voted for Trump, you say, yeah, that'd be a terrible thing. Well, now none of the Republicans, none of the conservatives, none of the Tea Party people, none of them care that we're at a $1 trillion deficit right now. You know, if you count the actual amount of the debt actually going up, it's about 1.2 trillion. They say it's only 989 because they don't count like things like wild, you know, natural disasters and things like that, which happen, you know, every year. But there's so many ways that they distort these numbers. And one way that you guys can get on our emailing list is I wrote a book called How It's Rigged the Economy. So if you actually wanted to text one word, Liberty Advisor, just one word, no spaces in there. I think it gives you like Liberty Mutual or something if you put a space in there. So, and then the number is 71441. And I wrote a book called How It's Rigged the Economy that it's not necessarily even designed for you. It's designed for your friends that want to, you know, throw out a BS stat or say, hey, look how good this is going. It's so important.
Yeah, right. And I just find it interesting, though, because while we have people like Powell saying things like there's no reason we can't see growth all the way into the future, we're also seeing, we saw Ben Bernanke say back in 2007 that all was going to be good and now all was fine. John Maynard Keynes was quoted before the Great Depression saying that he sees no tremors coming in the economy in the foreseeable future, while Ludwig von Mises was
contained. Yeah, I mean, Ben Bernanke said subprime is contained when you know, right at the height of it, like January 2019, right. 2008.
And Ludwig von Mises, while John Maynard Keynes was saying that he wasn't seeing any tremors in the economy in the foreseeable future, Ludwig von Mises, the Austrian economist, was predicting it for like 10 years leading up to the Great Depression. I mean, it goes without saying that, you know,
if YouTube was wrong, but if YouTube was wrong back then, you'd have people in 1929 or before the crash be like, you're wrong, Josh, you've been talking about this for 10 years.
And talking about basic economics, how dare you be, you know, not have things happen the next week. I mean, that's not how things
work. It doesn't matter that Deutsche Bank is down 300% the past 3 years.
It
hasn't collapsed yet, so you're wrong.
It doesn't matter that, you know, all the banks are bankrupt. If you look at their own balance sheets, there's an everything bubble worldwide, multi-quadrillion dollar derivatives bubble with the GDP comparatively with the derivatives bubble just absolutely minimal if you consider the fact that there's $75 trillion worldwide, but the derivatives bubble is multi-quadrillion dollar levels. It's so absurd. There's a pension bubble shortfalls that are reaching, as many predict, as much as $400 trillion by 2050 worldwide. And that is more than, that's like five times the global GDP, folks. And you know, housing bubbles and student loan bubbles, and everywhere you look, there's a currency bubble. There's interest rates going down everywhere. But no, we're just fear mongering. We are trying to bring facts to you so you guys can do what you need to do in order to solve these problems. And we're going to get into the solutions right away. But first, I wanted to ask you, Tim, do you think that with all these things that I mentioned about, you know, Jerome Powell saying that, you know, he sees growth in the future while also saying there's more debt than there is dollars and all that kind of stuff, it seems very confusing. The interest rate decisions, this talk about inflation. Do you think that the Federal Reserve and the people at the Fed are confident in the economy going forward, or are they like desperately trying to aid a crisis that they created?
I mean, at this point, I think they have to know what's going on, but no one wants, as much as there, you know, being conspiracies at the top, nobody wants, you know, the show to go down, you know, underneath their watch, underneath their tutelage. So if they were to, you know, come out and say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done, everything would crash immediately. But, you know, who knows? I mean, the one thing that could be growing besides the debt could be, you know, the lower class, not only in, you know, America, but worldwide. And I think I saw a stat the other day that actually showed that compared to other quote unquote rich nations. And, you know, I would actually say we're, you know, a poor nation once you take into account our debt over here in America, that most other quote unquote rich nations have much, much larger classes than they do in America. And so part of the problem is that you have, you know, let's say you're a senior, you're getting paid, you know, 1% cost of living adjustment or 2% right. or some years zero, and things are really going up at, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%, especially, you know, the things that seniors are buying, you know, do go up quite a bit in value relative to, you know, all the cheap electronics. But anyways, you know, you're essentially having, if inflation was 10 and you're getting cost of living is 2, you're having 8% robbed every single year thanks to the government. And this is a situation that I see just getting, you know, the best case scenario is that it's a slow bleed and it's just like a frog going and, you know, boiling in the pot, and people don't even realize they're getting poorer and poorer. But the problem is they're then going to beg for more socialism, which especially, you know, our generation, the millennials, as much as that pains me to say that, they are going to, you know, beg for, you know, all the free stuff, all the millionaires and billionaires. Well, guess what, Bernie Sanders? They've got a little trillionaires in Zimbabwe, and it's because they printed all their money. It doesn't,
yeah,
the amount of money does not matter.
Well, that's what I've been trying to explain to people. Like, this is inflation that we're seeing. It's not that there's crazy amounts of new billionaires in existence today. It's the fact that the billionaires today were just 100 millionaires and millionaires, you know, 40, 50 years ago. It's just that the price of, or the value of the currency is going down. So,
and you could take all of the billionaires' money, all literally all of it, and it would run the government for not even a year. So you take all their money, all their wealth, assumes that it doesn't drop and crater the stock price, which obviously it would, and assume that everybody still works the same, which they wouldn't on a Laffer curve. And guess what? You can run the government for not even a year. So congratulations.
Never mind just redistributing the money of the rich people that are giving people jobs and spreading wealth, whether you like them or not. Stop stealing poor people's money and redistributing it to rich people in poor countries. Stop redistributing people's money. Stop stealing money and coming in as a solution that's a Hegelian dialectic, a problem, reaction, solution, repeat. And then you add inflation on top of that, and that's what gets down to the point here, is that people are being pushed into debt servitude. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, if you shove someone down a bottomless pit of debt, they are forced to ask for a ladder up from the government and the banking system, pushing them into perfect servitude. And that is exactly where they want you, that they want you to be on your knees begging for help, because they created the problem in the first place and they want to be the solution, because they want to create another problem down the line. They want you in chains, and that is why you need to break free. And this is why the solutions come down to something that I find extraordinarily simple: individualism, responsibility, freedom. It's not that crazy to say that, you know, the people in charge want to maintain that control and grow that control and grow more power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. They're going to do whatever they can to force you onto your knees further and further. That's the only way government can develop, is by pushing their populace, their pawns, further into servitude and sacrifice the pawns for the king and the queen at the end of the day. And I think that it's important that I go into the solutions, because honestly, I believe there's more solutions than there are problems. You can look outside of just like responsibility, which plays into all of this. You can look at, you know, food, water, shelter, self-defense. You're not gathering things for the toughest guy on the block, as I've said so many times before. That is a part of personal defense, personal sustenance, and prolonging your own life and the life of your family. Because people will say you can't eat gold and silver, and well, technically you can. I wouldn't suggest it, but I mean, you can eat food and water, and you could buy that food and water with the things that you preserve your wealth with. And I think gold and silver, in my opinion, are a great way to preserve wealth, as history shows. But also on the digital side, we are entering into a very digital world where we can't, you know, there's going to be international transactions. People are going to be more easily convinced by, you know, convenience. Because remember, tyranny is enforced under the guise of convenience. We should also utilize convenience in order to win that battle against the governments and the organized crime rackets around the world, to, you know, be able to create a cushion for ourselves in this crisis that we're watching worldwide. So I think cryptocurrencies that are properly decentralized and properly fundamentally useful are incredibly important. But finishing it off, Tim, I want to go to you, just finishing it off regarding how people can get involved with you, become a client of yours, and the solutions that you provide.
Well, thanks, Josh. Well, yeah, I do want to let people know that I do, you know, more than just cryptocurrency. A lot of the investment assets I have are more traditional assets. People sometimes come to me with their crypto in order to help diversify out. And I also do help people get in as well. However, you know, I made the pitch earlier about having a plan. A lot of people, a lot of advisors out there are really glorified salesmen and different products. They want to sell you a bunch of products and then they want to then, you know, fit a plan into the products that you have. What I want to do is come up with a plan and then figure out, okay, do you need any products? Do you need any, you know, how much, you know, return do you actually need to have in retirement? You know, maybe you need to get 10% in order to live, or maybe you only need 5. And then, you know, and then how do you plan for inflation? How do you plan for deflation? How do you plan for what sequence of return risk, which is probably the biggest risk out there, which is not the order, it's not the average of your return that matters, it's the order. And so if you retire, if you're, you know, in your 60s right now, or you're, you know, late 50s and gearing up to retire in the next 3 or 4 years, I would model in, you know, ways to avoid that. There's, you know, obviously this is specialized knowledge, not a ton of people know about. So you're looking at a guy right now that, you know, that is able to help you out with that. And I am running actually now doing hourly packages, which that wasn't something I was doing before because I was way too busy making the move over here. And I'm also opening up a bronze package now, which is going to be good, which, you know, before I was only kind of doing with higher tier clients exclusively. Well, now I'm broadening it up where it's very affordable for everyone. And eventually that's going to be other people taking on that role. So for right now, you get the benefit of lower price and myself, but we do have other people we're training right now. And so right now, get it in before the end of the year, have a plan, go into 2020 strong. And then on the non-financial side of things, just decentralize your life as much as possible. I mean, I'm using things like Brave Browser. I'm using things like Signal. I just switched over my libertyadvisor.com email over to Proton. I've taken everything off of every cloud storage I have, and I've got everything backed up locally on 3 different drives here. You know, just little things like that. I mean, so people want to, you know, some big government solution. The solution is everyone needs to act as individuals to do things. If you don't like YouTube, well, then stop going to YouTube and watch us on BitChute.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, subscribe to one of our, yeah. You know, I mentioned the book link before, and that will get us on the email link. And it's not so I can go spam you with emails. So when we're not here, we've got a way to communicate.
Right.
Right. So I think bottom line going forward is you have to free yourself, free your mind, free your money, and stop being a slave, stop being dependent. You have to be independent. That is the truest form of humanity, is self-responsibility. Self-responsibility and freedom are the same thing. They're synonymous. One plays into the other. It's important that people understand this and stop looking for others to save them from the problems that those entities created in the first place. We need to free humanity. Now, as we close this off, be sure to check those links below. We have a bit.ly link for Tim if you want to get involved and want to be a client. We have links to float.app. We have links to all these other things, because remember, this information will not be on YouTube for much longer. It could be in the next 10 days. It could be in the next month. It could be in the next year. One way or another, we know that YouTube, with the new terms of service, will be taking this channel down, and we need you to follow us to these other platforms. It takes 2 seconds to get a float.app account. And on top of that, we're on BitChute. And on top of that, we need your pledges. We need to raise still another $1,215 in monthly pledges.
And if you guys are going to Anarcho Poco, you can use one of the links down below. I'm going to be speaking at the Dollar Vigilante Summit. So that's a separate add-on promo code WHAM for all that stuff to help keep, you know, WHAM afloat. But yeah, and you know, I think John will be there as well. So, you know, the three of us will all be at Anarcho Poco in some fashion. You come up and talk to us, and just, and that's another great way to network. If you don't like your job now, you don't, you know, there's, you know, tons of great people in the Liberty community who, you know, are doing big things. Maybe you work for them or create your own deal.
Right. So I want you guys to check those links below. Like, again, as I said, there's Patreon, there's Subscribestar. I do, you know, subscriber only videos, $5 and up a month in the $5 and up tier. On Subscribestar, and message me on Patreon if you pledge that and you want to see that stuff as well, including documentaries that have been banned. Anyway, I don't want to go all into this because we have an outro video on all of this coming up right away, right after this. But I want people to stop being apathetic, whether it's in their own life or helping in one way or another, just a dollar a month or more, just helping us survive, because we will be gone very soon if we cannot raise another $1,215 in monthly pledges by January 1st. It's crucial for the sake of independent media, for the sake of free information online, which is more important now going into the next decade than ever before. So anyway, I appreciate you joining us today, Tim. We'll be getting back at you guys with much more on this.
What do they comment running hot? How about running hot down below to help the audience?
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Just so to prove that you've been watching the video up to this point, comment running hot as Tim has asked. So just comment that below, and then I'll know that you've actually watched all the videos through, and then you didn't watch 10 seconds of it, like many people who comment negative comments and mass dislike it within the first 10 seconds of uploading a video and publishing it. I want to know that you actually watched the video, and if you write running hot below, then we'll know that you actually watched it to this point. Anyway, I really appreciate you joining us today, Tim. And until next time, this is Josh Sigurdsson and Tim Pachote signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth, be the change. Like what you see here, Wham! Don't forget to check the links below. GoFundMe, Patreon. We cannot do it without you guys. Every donation is extremely, extremely appreciated as we're getting incredibly shadow banned. We've lost 80% of our audience since January of 2019 and counting. They are ripping us apart here on YouTube, and the only thing we could do in the meantime as we prepare for the next big step is to ask for help from the viewers that support our free information that we try to post on a daily basis. You can also find us on Subscribestar, where just a dollar a month, that's all it takes, a dollar a month is all it takes to truly make a huge difference. If everyone gave a dollar a month, it would change everything for independent media, and we could win this information war, and we can defeat the mainstream medias eventually. And of course, on Subscribestar, we post subscriber-only content that you'll only see on Subscribestar, so make sure to pledge there, become a patron. That makes a huge difference, guys. And also, don't forget to check out our Bitcoin address below in the comments and description, as well as on the screen for you to scan if you please. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on the alternatives. We will likely be deleted by YouTube in the next 2 years. It's already happening on a vast scale. So make sure to find us on float.app. That's float.app. At Josh Sigurdsson, as well as at Wham, W-A-M. Float.app is replacing every social media, and I mean, it's just incredible the opportunities it provides for not just creators, but for the average person who wants to get away from these nannies telling them what they can or cannot see. They plan to replace Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Tumblr, Reddit, and Patreon. You could subscribe to us on Float and pledge with cryptocurrency. It's really innovative. We are also on BitChute at World Alternative Media, as well as so many others. Minds, PocketNet. You can find us at World Alternative Media on Instagram. There's many options. And finally, don't forget to join us at Anarchapulco 2020, the famous event, the best liberty event known to mankind, other than perhaps Anarcho-Vegas 2020. There are two major events coming up that we are extremely excited about, and you can use promo code WAM, that's W-A-M, and save 10% on your tickets to these legendary conferences. There's so many amazing people speaking there. You won't want to miss it. So make sure to support in any way you can, even if it's just sharing our videos, pressing like, pressing to be notified. Anything helps, folks. You are the change you wish to see. Thanks for watching, everyone. And until next time, this is Josh Sigurdsson signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth, be the change.